It is Monday, hour three of the Lori and Julia show, which means, of course, Sex Mondays coming up. And we've got a little somebody in studio who's not Lori. She's...
It's Brittany, bitch.
I gotta be cooler.
You know who you are.
You what? Might have seen her peeing in the desert
right.
in Iraq.
Yeah. You may have. You may have. Or you might have seen heard her talking about this amazing movie, Hocus Pocus. Actually, I do want to watch it. We got an email from somebody saying, Angie says, it's a great movie. It's a fall classic.
Thank you, Angie.
She is so smart. My hubby and I watch it every year.
Thank you, Angie. I needed that. I just needed that. I just getting
earlier in our show, you did a deep dive into it, and we had no idea what you're talking about. But now that we've done some research, we understand it's a movie.
And it looks like it's available on Disney Plus for all y'all that signed up to watch Hamilton or The Mandalorian or whatever. Yeah, so if you've got Disney Plus,
so
you've got Hocus Pocus.
I can't watch it. This makes me so sad.
Well, just sign up for
it. I'm not. I am not signing up for another thing that I'll forget to cancel.
That's a good point.
I actually switched credit cards this month. I have two.
Oh, nice.
And I just started using another one because I could never understand how the one that I was using had almost the exact same amount that was so high every month that I charged on it. So I thought I just need to run it dry.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like I can't even do a good audit on it because I feel like I'm paying the exact same way too much account every month when I think I'm cutting costs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I froze it. I'm happy to say it's working.
Wow.
It's really working.
There you go.
Just it feels so good to like know that there's a bottom.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, you know, canceled out of that.
Subscriptions. I mean, I've been doing that too, kind of looking at what I have. They'll add up so quickly.
I know. Support your local media though, people.
Yes.
Our magazines, our newspapers,
our radio stations.
Okay, so yesterday, I think, or at some point this weekend, I don't know, it was early or it was very late, but it wasn't when the sun was shining. I watched The Social Dilemma. One of my sons watched it and said, Mom, you got to watch it. It's really good. And it is, if you've watched it, it's on Netflix. It's a documentary done by Jeff Olowarski, and it just explains how social media was designed to manipulate us, to get us addicted.
Mm-hmm.
And it has some people that have left, like a Google, a Facebook, some other big tech companies, Pinterest, and are starting other companies thinking, we need to fight the battle against what these things do. And I thought the quote that got me about the movie was, never before in history have 50 white designers between the ages of 20 and 35 male made decisions that would impact 2 billion people. And then it just dives into explaining how we are being manipulated, mm-hmm. how we are being taught not to think for ourselves, how when you think you're talking about something and suddenly it shows up, those shoes that you were just talking about will show up on your laptop or your phone or in your Instagram feed or whatever. And they pair it with kind of live action, if you will. So they have the cutaways to all these people who were from the industry talking about how it's great, but it needs to be harnessed.
Yeah, there's a double-edged sword to every positive.
Absolutely.
I think that the things that I really stuck with me is the idea that they were talking about your eyeballs a commodity. Mm-hmm. They treat your screen time as wanting to keep you as long as possible. If they feel like you haven't been on your phone in a while, they'll throw you a quick ping saying, randomly, like, Michelle's posted some new pictures, even though it has nothing to do with you.
Right.
They want to keep you hooked. They want to keep you fiending for it. What really threw, this guy, the CEO, Tim Kendall, he was big in Facebook. I think he was some big old guy in Pinterest.
Yep.
He was talking about how he would do all this stuff to get everybody addicted to Pinterest. And then he'd find himself coming home to his kids locking himself in his pantry so he could look at Pinterest a little longer.
Or anything.
Anything.
And social media.
Yeah, his big thing was that at the time. And he's like, so I thought I was so clever getting everyone else addicted. Didn't even realize how addicted I was.
Yeah, everything you do anywhere that has to do with your phone or your laptop is being monetized. Mm-hmm. Your data is available, and then how they just keep getting smarter and smarter.
Yeah.
And the classes that they teach on the psychology of getting you addicted. I've just always had this anti thing about social media. I don't, it's just me. I don't know. I just.
But don't you love?
I like Instagram.
Yeah.
There's some things to like about Twitter, the immediacy of it, you know, and Facebook has never been my thing though.
Yeah.
But I like looking at pictures, you know, of friends and stuff, and I like the connection, but it really, I think it'd be so fascinating to watch this with your kids, with your teenagers who think their phone is their life. Well, they have been trained.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard is it to get a phone away from someone?
Oh, it's.
I mean, does Bruno have a cell phone, Rocco?
He has access to screens. You know, yeah.
And it's so. Is it hard to get it away?
Oh my gosh!
I mean, it's like not good. I would have to like pin my kids down.
I know.
You know, and they're stronger than me. I'm like, just
are the nuclear countdown. I'm going to take it in 5 minutes. I'm going to take it in 3 minutes. I mean, you know, the idea of warning them enough to get them mentally around the idea you're going to take it, and then it's still a meltdown.
It's something, and it's just eye opening. It's taking to the extreme, but it really tells you, and it makes you have a little more empathy too for how divided we are. People's opinions are being so manipulated on both sides.
So yeah,
so politically we are being so manipulated. It is fascinating to me.
Yeah,
the difference in the messaging and how it can take you. And it's just really something that I think everyone should watch.
Yeah,
it's eye opening.
I think that's really interesting. The idea that they talked about, this was the most polarizing both sides of the political party I've ever been. And because, again, your eyes are commodity. They want to keep you on there. They're going to keep sending you things that's going to solidify your arguments and put you more. It's going to be interesting content that maybe pushes you more right or more left. Which, so then you're having conversations with people and you're saying, how can you believe that? How can you believe that the earth is flat, Julia? And you're like, well, all my content constantly shows me that the earth is flat because that's what I click on. And that was really interesting in this time where you find yourself in these weird arguments with people where you feel like you don't have any common ground. Well, you've ventured off into different cyber tree tramp, you know.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I think, Rocco, you should watch it.
Yeah, I texted my wife about it when you were telling me about it. Because, yeah, and I've kind of gotten off the Facebook and the Instagram for a while, and it feels good.
It feels and that's why I love being around people who aren't obsessed with their phone. You're not obsessed with your phone. I like that you are present. It's so fun to be around, you know, a kid before they get their phone. They're the most fun people.
Well, right.
Because they're in the moment.
And they're being so... I mean, and it's a necessity too.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to know and have access to where your kids are. It just is, it's a parenting beware thing and it's a people beware thing.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just reading a little bit about the review, and basically they're saying it goes far, but I think it's supposed to scare you.
Yeah.
As some documentaries do, but it's on Netflix. It's effective in sounding the alarm about the data mining that is being done every second for all of us.
And I think it just proves itself as most of these, you know, big CEO tech gods, they don't let their kids have phones. They don't let them have social media accounts. And that's because they know what it does and what they've wanted it to do.
It gets you addicted. And then they even talk about how they figure out how to manipulate. It's reverse engineering, figuring out how to rope you in to the matrix to profit off you, how to manipulate you. And then when you need it, they give you a dopamine hit.
Yeah.
Like, ping, you've been tagged in this photo. Someone's thinking about you. Oh, we haven't heard from you, but someone's looking at you. Like LinkedIn sends you, these people are thinking about you.
Yeah.
You know, or this is happening over here. Just to get you to go back on your screen. And then one other line that just kind of struck me, and we can move on. The only two industries that call their customers users are illegal drugs, drug addicts, you're a user, or software companies.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean,
I thought that just
so good.
So anyway, if people are looking for something I call my sister because she's still, both my sisters have teenage kids still. And I'm like, you should watch this with your kids. I think it would be eye-opening for everybody. And the example of how the one family is trying to make it through a meal without their phones.
Yeah.
I remember taking my boys to dinner and I'm like, just put them away. Yeah. And then you kind of are like, well, what do we talk about if we can't look it up? I mean, it's this really weird. And if people are over this and they're already on top of it.
Yeah,
you're great.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic, but it's just eye-opening. It's called The Social Dilemma on Netflix.
I think of a good tip was having a charging station in the kitchen or in the living room, not in the bedroom. I think that is an awesome idea. I think
my phone doesn't go near my bedroom.
Mine's right next to mine.
There's so much action in there.
You don't want to break your phone with all the gymnastics going on.
There's so much going on a daily, nightly basis that I just, you know.
Yeah, mine's right next to me. And
used to keep it there because I'd worry about my kids, but now
I use mine for my alarm, but I've been so thankful because somebody's been giving me a ton of books and homework to do all the time that I've been reading a lot more. But I think having that charging station for, you know, telling your kids and yourself to put it there, you don't need it. You don't need it at night.
Right. And really, it's an addiction. And you think how you're fighting to get, fighting to get the phone away. I mean, like, please.
I know.
It's bizarre. Look at me. Look up. I always still, when I walked down the street, would always yell, look up. You don't see, you know, it was wherever we are, because people always had their face in their phones.
Yeah.
I'd yell, look up, look up. And it would be like, people are like, what is that? What is that? What is that noise? It's just this naughty little Julia. It's Juicy Spice coming by. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, it's time for the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All right, Miss Holly.
All right, ladies.
How are you?
I am doing all right. It's sunny. It's Monday. And we're going to start this Dirt Alert update with a print story coming from a memoir that is coming from Neil Carlin. He has done extensive interviews with Prince during his lifetime. The book out now is called This Thing Called Life. And this journalist is claiming Prince once visited his apartment just to get to his prescribed opioids. So he's saying that this happened back in 1997, that Neil had broken 5 bones in his leg while rollerblading, which is such a 90s accident. And he was housebound for months. And he said one day Prince called. The two hadn't chatted for about 4 months and had a conversation about, you know, a dozen topics because the two of them were close and had a relationship dating back decades. And then they also kind of talked about Neil's, quote, unlimited supply of Percocet pills that he had been prescribed post-surgery. He says that Prince said he wanted to come over immediately, which Neil noted was not in character. He said he'd been in my apartment, but not for a few years. And for him to go so far to pay a little sympathy call, he said it felt meaningful, but it turns out the visit was for quite a different reason than that. Prince wanted the pill supply. He said, I didn't even have time to offer him a glass of water before he spied the little Walgreens bottle in my living room. He said, Prince took about a third of the bottle and then his heart sank. He said, it was true. He said, I had heard rumors for years that he had been on and off heavy painkillers ever since the Purple Rain tour a dozen years before. Now, you can read this book. It's out now, This Thing Called Life. And so just kind of revealing some personal anecdotes about Prince.
Yuck.
I think that's people who are around, people are, you know, addicted to things. It's such a sign where somebody gets hurt. And it's to us to be like, oh, no, you don't think much of it. But like, that's kind of stuff where that behavior that kicks in, that addiction takes over. And you just know that those pills are going to be there. I think that,
And so he's writing about that. The book just came out last week.
Neil Carlin, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's from here.
Yeah.
This Thing Called Life.
Yes, This Thing Called Life.
But everybody, I mean, not everybody, but I think a lot of us know people who are addicts and they go, and it's just hard to hear this about Prince.
Yeah.
But he's human. I mean, absolutely. But you know how far people go.
Especially since he hurt his hip, you know, entertaining us, jumping off pianos and, you know, trying to make everybody happy.
But boy, those opioids are so addictive.
Oh.
People, I mean, they're just, it's scary how quick you can become addicted to it. All right, moving on.
Well, we've got some relationship drama going on over in Rome. Lily James cozying up to her married co-star Dominic West in Rome. And do we have the pictures? The Daily Mail publishing these pictures that Dominic West was spotted cozying up with his co-star Lily James on Sunday, sparking romance rumors. I mean, he was going full Dracula on her neck. So I feel like they're more than just friends.
It said that they got married.
Well, he's still married. He's still,
I know he is.
So he can't get married to Lily James. So they had that PDA pack lunch. Now the Daily Mail is exclusively reporting that Dominic West and his wife were still very much together, because there were some reports that Catherine Fitzgerald and Dominic West were still together. Maybe they were separated. Maybe something was happening. But apparently sources telling the Daily Mail that now the marriage is probably over, because she's heartbroken, shocked, and devastated at these pictures emerging from over the weekend.
These guys, well, and Lily James and Dominic, just, they knew each other because they worked on something like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But they just started working on this movie together in July, The Pursuit of Love. And they have four children. He has four children with Catherine. He's very much married.
Yeah, he's very much married, very much a committed person. Now, Lily, she, over the summer, was spotted out in a London park hanging out with Captain America Chris Evans.
Yeah.
She had just recently split from Doctor Who Matt Smith. You might also know him as Prince Philip from season 1 and 2 of The Crown. So she seems like she's free and easy, and he guesses not so much the case.
Mm-hmm. And she's not, Lily James is not Lily Collins, who's starring in Emily in Paris.
That is correct.
That was our 3:15 story. We can't get enough of Holly. Who are the Lilies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're both in the news.
And they're both 31.
And they're both 31, and they're born a month apart from each other. And they were both born in England.
They're both beautiful, both brunettes.
Yeah.
Both.
So it's weird, because I'm like, which Lily is it?
Oh, no, it's Lily James. She was Cinderella in the live action remake.
Yes. He sure is going full Dracula on her neck.
Yes, it's a hickey competition. That would be embarrassing. I don't know how you guys feel about public hickeys.
Mm-hmm. I would be confused.
I feel good getting them.
I'm like,
I like it a little on the back of the neck.
Yeah. I'm saying in private, full on lunch as I'm trying to like eat my, you know, chips and salsa. He's just going for it. All right.
He's like, Dominic, come on.
Come on, Dominic.
Come on. Oh, you guys, Max Erich, the ex-fiance of Demi Lovato, is having a pity party for himself on the beaches of Malibu, and the internet is really not here for it. They're kind of dragging him for it. So he's been pretty vocal about his heartache on social media, talking about the fact that the haters are clapping back at him for for being so emotional about this. But these photographs, they're on page6.com. It's pretty obvious that he called the paparazzo. And he said, I'm going to have an emo moment at 7:30 at Dune Beach.
He's so desperate.
Yeah. Yes. So somebody tweeted, not Max Erich going to the beach where he proposed and sitting there sobbing at the ocean. Sir, who is this performance for?
He is thirsty.
But everyone
spice.
Picked it up. It bugged me.
Oh, the photographs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's because the story starts to get meta. Where at this point, we all understand that Max Erich is looking for attention. So he is going to get attention, but then we're talking about the fact that he's looking for attention. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it in a very deliberate way. And, you know, then partially you're like, well, geez, at least, you know, Demi Lovato, honey, go in the opposite direction as soon as you can and get away from this guy.
Yeah.
Because it is a little troubling. It is a little troubling. And it's a little awkward and too much secondhand embarrassment looking at these Max Erich photos. makes it
uncomfortable.
Makes me hot under the collar. Khloe Kardashian revealing on a new podcast that she once worked for Nicole Richie. Yes, Khloe Kardashian, just like her big sister Kim, got her start in Hollywood being the assistant of an A-list reality celebrity. So she talks about the fact that she was Nicole Richie's assistant briefly before Keeping Up with the Kardashians, before that show premiered in 2007. She said, I went to school with Nicole, and that she was one of my best friends growing up, and we were just really close, and she started doing The Simple Life, and she said right after that show, Nicole just needed some help, and I needed a job.
Perfect.
I bet that'd be fun being her assistant.
Yeah. Nicole Richie, she does all sorts of things these days.
I know. And she's like, Paris is pretty dry. And especially back then, you know, she had her, I do my voice. And then, but I bet you being Nicole's was the one to be. Oh, like, that'd be fun.
Totally. Rebel Wilson and Jacob Bush continuing their romance showmance on the beach of Cabo San Lucas over the weekend. They are swimming in an infinity pool. He is not wearing a shirt. Mm. She's hanging out in a swimsuit because they're at the beach. I mean, what else would you do? And also, on Rebel Wilson's Instagram account, she got the seal of approval from the unofficial queen of Cabo San Lucas herself, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, so look at that.
Must
so the
be
life
nice.
Is all, everything's good.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I love watching them.
I know. Happy Monday, honey.
Yes, happy Monday. We're here.
Yes, everyone. It's Monday.
Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex for now.
Arr. Mm-hmm. It's Monday. It's time to get a little sexy. Okay, so there's a little, a poll was done, just how kinky are you? And this was done with the Brits.
Okay.
Here is what men, and it was to find out what do men and women really want? What's on their sexual bucket list, okay? Mm. Any ideas what men want the most, Rocco? Sexual fantasy bucket list.
Like a threesome or something like that?
Ding, 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 ding. That's men's top thing, is bringing in a third party tops the sexual bucket list, like major, major, major.
Really?
And you've heard that.
I just can't believe they want to add another man to the mix.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Cute, cute. Cute. All right, what do you think is number one for women?
Role play? Oh, no. Downtown.
That's a given. This is blindfolded sex.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be achievable pretty quickly.
I know it. That's on women's. Helping out people, number one, women. Why are you laughing?
Because it's like, for men, we want to bring somebody. Honey, we want to bring somebody else. Oh, well, honey, I don't want to look at you while we do this.
I want to see more women. Well. I want to see less men. Yes. I love it.
I wonder if men fantasize as much as women do about, like, having sex with George Clooney when it's happening, or Brad Pitt at some point in your relationship. I wonder if men do that.
I'm going to be silent
on
that one.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Coming in second place for women, because we are such an adventurous bunch, jacuzzi sex.
Oh, no. Who did they?
Women want that?
Uh-huh. No, we don't.
Yeah, it seems... Okay.
No, we don't. That's just great.
Okay, but when you're in a jacuzzi, sometimes it's very sexy.
Well, the theory,
theory.
You want it in theory, all right? You like the idea of jacuzzi sex, but anybody who's ever tried it knows it just does not work. It's not great. It doesn't work well. Like, welcome to UTI for the next week.
Well, Wacko just got a jacuzzi.
I did. And that's not really on our bucket list.
That's not on the list. Okay. No. So welcome to the UTI.
Yeah.
That's a good PSA that you just did there.
Thank you.
Because
I'm sponsored by cranberry juice.
There you go. Okay. Coming in last place for women, I don't know what this means. Will you Google this word?
I'm on it.
Okay, fanfic.
Fan.
What does that mean?
I think that's
fan fiction.
Fan fiction.
Oh, fan fiction. Oh, it's a short.
So like elaborate stories.
Like, love.
Like the Hocus Pocus witches came to my bedroom. Each one of them.
And
Bette
Midler
looked at
me. It was Bette Midler's favorite fantasy.
Look at me and said, abracadabra,
There you go. And for men, let's see, in last place for men, they would like to experiment with hot wax.
Oh, what is this, a Ricky Martin music video?
Basically.
Nobody wants that.
No, I know.
Nobody.
Is this a Ricky Martin music video?
Nobody's ever like, I would like to get small third-degree burns on my chest, please. Nobody wants that. So now all these men and women are going to go home listening to the millions of men and women listening to our show are going to go home, think that their partner wants this. Oh, it's going to be.
It's going to be something. Okay, so I'm a member of a certain age group, okay?
Okay.
Over over 50. Apparently, well, not apparently. So I am a member of AARP.
Okay.
Thank you, AARP, for sponsoring our Friday picks here, our weekend picks. So in my AARP magazine that I was going through to find excellent content for the show, I came across this ad, and the headline is, "Don't miss out on the best sex of your life."
I won't.
"See for yourself on discreet home video. Real people demonstrating real sexual techniques." The videos, it's a $200 value and it's just $29.99. But these were featured on Sex in America on the Discovery Channel.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying this is an idea for people.
Yeah.
If you want to do that and maybe you want to look at some different things, you don't want to go to the good old porn hubs and things like that.
Yeah.
You just want to have... So this is real life videos. It's video education for couples who watch together and want to learn together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a visual encyclopedia of stimulating sexual fun.
Mm.
It's recommended by leading doctors and sex therapists. So better sex for a lifetime. So it might be something fun right now to rekindle your passion if you're in a committed relationship and maybe you're kind of sick of each other because maybe you're both working at home or maybe your kids are home with you. It's just an idea, but I thought it was funny because I'd never seen that before in an AARP magazine.
Are the people attractive?
I don't. Well, the couple here, she does not look like a member of AARP. She only looks 35. He looks like he is. But yeah.
Maybe that's the appeal.
Yeah, it's... So that's, let me tell you where you get it. It's the Sinclair Institute, and they do a lot of sexual things at the Sinclair Institute.
So are we talking, we're going to see the whole shebang? Are we talking like...
You're going to see demonstrations of imaginative sensual foreplay, new positions, and oral loving.
Okay.
Watch couples experiment with new intimacies as they find humor and joy in creative lovemaking. Get explicit instructions. I mean, people might want to learn how to be better lovers or something for intimate pleasure beyond intercourse. Ultra sensual massage, exciting games, plus specific positions that provide stimulation and satisfaction. So it's just $29.99. It's 10 videos.
Wow.
If you have a video player.
Does it come on VHS?
I know it. I was just saying if you have a video player.
Is this kind of videos you
it's
have to hide
sex for a
or
lifetime.
No? Do I not have to hide it?
Well, who would you hide it from? Your dogs?
Oh, remind me that I'm, remind me I have no one. Yeah, good point. All right, I'll get a couple.
All right. I remember, I remember going in video stores and they used to have the back room where you could see the sex videos.
Right. Yeah.
Remember going to Blockbuster?
Oh, I used to work at Video Update in Woodbury.
Did you
really?
People would like... You know, our doors would open at 9.
Yeah.
And there would be cars in the parking lot like at 8:57. And those guys all went straight to that section.
To that. Where was that in Woodbury?
Kind of by the Cub Foods, the Barnes & Noble.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have a curtain for the back room?
It was sort of, there was like a door and like a, you know. You couldn't see in there. You'd have to walk through a door.
So it was fun. It was fun. It was always, I'm telling you, because going to the video store was an event. It was like a Friday night for us. It was like a family thing. We'd get the kids. Let's go pick out videos. But when they first opened, where Cheapo Records is on Snelling Avenue in St. Paul, I think it was a video
it's
update.
Home video maybe or something.
Yeah, home video or something like that. But the back room was this exclusive area and it was just... You know, you'd feel dirty going back there.
But exciting dirty.
In a fun way.
Yeah.
I mean, but just and watch who would go back there. I mean, because it was part of the whole experience because these are the people really open about it and going back there and buying porn videos.
So if somebody came up to the desk, Rocco, and they had these dirty videos, did you say anything specific?
Like, I'd like to see your ID if you're over 18.
Or say them out loud?
We tried to be pretty discreet. And I remember we'd always have to call the people who were late. With their videos and maybe the people that had, you know, Debbie Does Dallas or whatever.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say that on the message. You know, you'd say, we have some videos that are overdue.
You wouldn't say.
Oh, I like that info. Yeah. I like
but
that
yeah,
info.
Yeah, we.
You played it cool.
We played it cool and that's why we had loyal customers lining up at 8:57 a.m.
You weren't blowing up anyone's spot.
No.
Was that the most popular Debbie Does Dallas and Deep Throat?
You know. To be honest, I don't know what. There was a certain genre that was more popular than others, and I don't even know if I want to, if I can say it on the radio.
Don't.
But there was a certain technique that was popular among the aficionados.
I'm dying to know what it is now.
It was. Video update in Woodbury for all the not there anymore.
The arm movement she just did. I'm not going to say anything.
If Lori was here, she'd say it.
I know she would. I'm not saying it. So it's Better Sex for a Lifetime. Okay. They're real couples, not actors, demonstrating the joys. Maybe something visually stimulating. All right, when we come back, it's time for the rest of the headlines. I love that song.
Me too.
That's a good song. I hate it that you're going to, if you were just with us during our really compelling Sex Monday segment conversation, I was talking about this newspaper ad from AARP about Better Sex for a Lifetime, about these sex videos. Now, Rocco, you, of course, so, I think are going to rain on my parade.
Well, you know, I found on people are maybe trying to resell them on Amazon. The Better Sex Video Series Volume 1, Better Sexual Techniques.
Yeah.
Here's some of the review comments. Let's see. The Sinclair Institute may have a reputation for quality products, but the Better Sex series is a big letdown. What the other reviews fail to tell you is that these videos were originally produced in 1990. It was an experiment to use actual couples for loving sex. It was a neat idea at the time, but this is what you get. Ugly models having sex.
Oh dear.
This is
bad.
I love it.
Somebody else says, first, while the credits for this DVD claim to have been originally from 1991 and revised in 2002, I don't think any of the learning segments were filmed after Reagan's first term at the White House. Big hair, lame polyester clothes, non-artfully applied makeup.
All right, fine.
So, but some others were into it. So,
all right.
Hey, that could be your niche. Like, that could be your thing.
And it's only $30. Julia, buy it for us.
Yeah, I'm not. Where would we watch the videos?
Come on, in the back room here.
In the back. We could watch it on your big projector,
yes,
Rocco. It could be family night.
Let's do it.
At Rocco's. We'll sit in the hot tub and we'll watch these old Reagan
and then,
era people.
And
that's
then we'll
funny.
See. Yeah.
That's funny. All right. Were you guys, did you watch Saturday Night Live this weekend?
I watched a couple segments.
Okay. First of all, here's my thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the hiccups right now.
All right, good. That'll be great radio.
I thought that the opening monologue being 8 minutes long, when you have attention deficit disorder like me, is five too much. I thought that went on too long.
The monologue or the first?
The first thing
clip
with the flies and everything.
So long.
Did you think that was so long, Rocco?
I did not watch that part. I did watch a couple of the sketches. Maybe we'll talk about the same sketches.
It was so long. And it was so dumb. The writing was terrible, and it was like the funniest scenes from it were when they just took the exact quotes from the debate, and then when they tried to go too far with the fly thing, it was just so dumb.
Oh, it went on forever. Okay, so that 8 minutes is too long.
Yeah,
and then Bill Burr, people thought he was offensive.
I have
in his opening monologue, he was a stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Who did the monologue, I had mixed reaction to. I thought people are going to be offended about stuff here.
I felt like he lives in the stand-up world. And if you go to stand-up, that's what you get. You get everything's on the table for stand-up. And that's kind of the point. It's supposed to be shocking. It's supposed to, say the opposite of what you think they're going to say and salacious. And so for stand-up, it was hilarious. And it was like almost like they forgot that this wasn't stand up.
That's very interesting because I thought it was kind of funny too, but I thought everyone is going to be offended.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was where I went with it is that, yes, if this was in the dark room at Acme, I would be like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did think it was funny, but it did feel like it was not edited for SNL.
Right.
For the
masses. Very good. Very good. And Jack White performed on the guitar that Eddie Van Halen gave him. You probably know that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right. So Was there some
I watched the pumpkin spiced Sam Adams. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Where he's from Boston. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, saying it like it is. That was pretty funny. And I saw the where the couples were saying the new normal.
Okay. The words.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny, but it went on too long.
Yeah.
Which I, that's my thing. I must just have an attention of a fly.
And Kate McKinnon was the only reason that was funny. When she kicked those wings, that was funny.
She's funny. Yeah.
She's funny. And she carried that. I mean...
Yeah.
But it and was, we all can relate to feeling weird in our own sense. I think that was kind of on brand for what's going on.
I agree.
And there was the one, there was the TikTok one that you might have liked with Beck Bennett, where he did like a rap. He did like a President Trump, you got to stop.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah.
And then his friends were like, you got to take that down, dude. And that was stupid.
He's
was
like, it? And he then put Jason his head in, calls him. He's like, put his head in his roommate's room and he's like, no, I should take it down. Okay. No, you think I should take it down? Oh, okay. And like his girlfriend showed up the house. He's like, hey, honey. Oh, you think I should take it down, too? And that was pretty funny. But I think, yeah, I think you did the right move, Rocco, as you kind of picked and chose. Right.
I don't ever make it through the whole
thing.
Well, I
got burned because I watched live the week before and I was sometimes it's better to just wake up the next day and watch them.
I think, I was all excited to watch what they were going to do with the debate. And then I just got stuck watching the whole thing.
Oh, it was so long. It was so long. All right. So here are a couple. Here's something. Now, did you guys watch Game of Thrones?
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So this is an old piece of news, but we didn't discuss it yet. So I don't know if you guys heard about this. But if you remember at the very end, there was a cup of coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
In the...
Daenerys was holding it, yeah.
Yes, a cup of coffee. So they talked to the bosses. They talked about the infamous coffee cup that appeared in one of the final episodes. So David Benioff said, when I saw it on TV, I was like, how did I not see that? And he says, quote, I couldn't believe it. When we got the email about it the next day, I honestly thought someone was pranking us. When I saw it on TV, I was like, really? And then the other, you know, creator says, I'd seen the shot 1,000 times. And we're always looking at the faces or how the shot sat with the shots on either side of it. I felt like we were all the participants in a psychology experiment. Like where you don't see the gorillas running around in the background because you're counting the basketballs in front.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said it comes from the new book, Fire Cannot Kill a Dragon. It's Game of Thrones and the official untold story about the epic series.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the gorilla basketball thing that he's talking about is a real thing, is a real thing. So it's just when you just spend so much time thinking about it, you just don't even see it.
Well, yeah, I think Rocco, I mean, I know I do some audio editing. I know Rocco does a lot. It's weird. If you're so up close with something and you can't step back and see the trees from the forest, I think it happens all the time.
Yep.
And it's kind of why you need that second pair of eyes or ears or somebody who's like not in the industry to just watch it or listen to something.
Right.
Yeah.
And I always felt, I don't know about you guys, but I thought that last season kind of felt sloppy and sort of thrown together like real fast.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, oh, we got to figure out a way to wrap this up. Let's just make these two things happen. And okay, we're done.
Listen.
And it was like, no, it seemed like you put a lot of thought into these first 9 seasons or whatever. You know, why is this one so slapdash? And I felt like maybe the coffee cup was a symptom.
Interesting. Well, it was like they needed it to end, so we had to hurry up and shove everything in. But I enjoyed it.
Okay,
thoroughly.
The story
My kids
arc,
were so disappointed.
The story arc for Daenerys went from just like doing good to romp so quickly at the end that it was so disheartening and unbelievable that it was absolutely, let's wrap this up.
It was a disservice.
Same with the White Walker. What's the Ice King or whatever?
Yeah,
his name?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, and we can just kill him like this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
real quick.
We spent like 10 years worrying about this
spoiler
guy.
Spoiler alert.
I know. I'm trying to be vague, but still.
I think if you haven't committed to watching it at this point, whatever. Right. Like, it's on you.
Whatever. Did anyone watch the Lakers win last night?
No.
No, because we were watching the Vikes.
Yeah, the Vikes. The Vikes.
The Vikes.
Oh, my gosh.
You broke a heart.
We started talking with Viking talk. We're ending with
there
Viking
talk.
There
you go.
This is my talk.
This is your sports segment. Everybody have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.